When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest updates from the world of sports, gambling, and pop culture. Because you can't have a show without hot takes or a Tiger King meme these days. Know what I'm saying? Now, with over 200 episodes and ready to get after it again, here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Got a lot going on. We got MMA action today, counter-programming to the NFL divisional playoff round, interesting matchups to talk about, and it's the last real NFL slate of the year. You got four games this weekend, you know, two today, two tomorrow, so let's get right down to it. So starting off, we're going to have the Packers hosting the Rams. You know, talking about the games last week, I told you I did not like the Seahawks at all, how they were heading into the postseason. So their loss to the Rams was not a shocker to me. People seem to be surprised by Seattle losing. It's not necessarily a barometer of how good the Rams are, but how poorly Seattle faded. So this one, spread-wise, Packers are 7-point favorites, but heavy favorites on the money line. So, you know, they're minus 355 as a favorite. And I kind of have to agree with the with most of the experts just taking the Packers on money line. Realistically, that Rams win last week was more reflection on Seattle. Could the Rams somehow pull off an upset? Yeah, but the things that the Rams do well, which is play off of play action, you know, realistically, that would work if we kind of had a better sense of Cooper Kupp being healthy. By all indications, Cooper Kupp has been struggling the entire week. They're saying it's a game time decision. We still don't know if Cooper Kupp's playing, but, you know, it's trending towards doubtful, and I don't necessarily like the Rams at all. I mean, it's going to take a monumental effort from the Rams defense to just hold the Packers to 20 and try to win a game 23-20. I mean, that's really what it's going to take. I can't see the Rams offense breaking 24 points. So, you know, by hook or by crook, you know, the Rams have to figure out a way of manufacturing some points. And I'm not sure if they're necessarily capable of doing it. So, very tough matchup for the Rams. And from a DFS perspective, the only guy I'm interested in playing on the Rams, to be honest, is Cam Akers. And even then, it's not a great matchup because, you know, if the Packers get up on the Rams, you know, how much is Cam Akers going to get the touches that he needs to get there? You know, 5,700 on DraftKings, 7,000 on FanDuel. Definitely don't like the price on FanDuel. It's more of a DK play because Akers can't catch passes out of the backfield. You know, the Rams really aren't using Malcolm Brown at all these days. They kept Akers fresh, and maybe that was the game plan throughout the regular season, why we saw so much of Malcolm Brown featured. But, you know, it's a real tough sell. You know, yeah, you could play Robert Woods, but realistically, Robert Woods works best as a complimentary receiver, not necessarily the number one. If I was going to play a wide receiver on the Rams, it'd probably be Van Jefferson over Josh Reynolds. Jefferson was getting more reps. But, you know, you're going to see Jefferson and Reynolds in the mix between the two. And they're both cheap. I think it was like $3,200 and $3,100 between the two of them. You know, I'm not going there, but I can see the play. You know, if we flip things over to the Packers side, you know, oh, actually, I should have talked about the Rams defense. The Rams defense is $2,600. The next cheapest defense is the Browns at $2,300 for the weekend. You know, the Rams defense technically could be in play because you could get maybe a pick from Jalen Ramsey or someone else in that Rams secondary. It's one of the best secondaries in the league, if not the best, and they were the best scoring defense in the league. So that's why I say, realistically, you know, it's hard to like the Rams at all unless their defense generates points for them, because I can't see the Rams offense cracking 20 points this weekend. It's got to be something generated by the Rams defense. And the way the Packers offense operates is if you try to force them into things, they're going to pick you apart in another way. So, you know, I don't necessarily see this as a Davante Adams game for the Packers. I see this more trending kind of towards Aaron Jones. The problem is Aaron Jones is really pricey. You know, he's $6,800 on DraftKings and $7,800 on FanDuel. And normally you would say that's cheap. Here's the problem. DraftKings did a really good job pricing up receivers and quarterbacks this week, so that even at $6,800, it's really kind of hard to make Aaron Jones lineups work efficiently if you're going that route. So, you know, what do I think you could see instead from a DFS perspective? Aaron Rodgers is at $6,900. Like I said, Davante Adams is the most expensive player on the weekend at $8,600. And again, because everyone's been priced up, it's really hard to make lineups work by playing Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams together. I'm actually more kind of leaning towards, if you want to play the Packers side of this, I'm actually leaning more towards playing Aaron Rodgers with, you could play Aaron Jones if you want. I'm not going there, but technically you could if the Packers get up. They're going to run the ball, but Jamal Adams would also factor into play at $4,400 as the other running back on the Packers. But I would be more interested in doing a stack of Aaron Rodgers with a Robert Tonyan at $4,200 at tight end. You know, there are a lot of tight ends priced in a very similar range. Tonyan's going to get lost in the mix because he's not cheap. And, you know, realistically, everyone's looking at Davante Adams as the favorite target of Rodgers, but Rodgers throws to Tonyan a bunch, especially in the red zone. That has some good value there. And, you know, if you want to look at punt plays, you could look at Alan Lazard, but realistically, the guy who would stretch the Rams defense deep would be Montez Valdez-Scantling at $3,800 for the Packers. The problem is, by going with a deep shot play, it actually, if the Packers do go that route, it actually puts the Rams defense more in the mix, because I actually think the Rams defense wins that matchup against MVS and Lazard more often than they beat the Rams defense deep. So you could see some turnovers there. So that's why it's not a primo matchup for Aaron Rodgers, but if you're trying to get a little bit different with your builds on DraftKings, I certainly get the play. All right, moving on to the Saturday night matchup, which might be the most thrilling matchup of the entire weekend. Well, we'll see. You got the Bills hosting the Ravens. The Bills only a 2.5-point favorite. They're not getting the full 3 points. And this is an interesting matchup because the public is on the Ravens to beat the Bills. And I gotta say, the weakness of the Bills is you can run on the Bills. You can definitely run on the Bills. And that is what the Ravens are going to try to do. I'm just not entirely sure that after playing a very physical game against Tennessee, the Ravens are necessarily going to be up to the task of dictating the line of scrimmage to the Bills' D line. This could be this one of those trap games where folks get suckered into seeing what they saw last week. Because, again, I was kind of surprised by the Ravens beating Tennessee. But, you know, the Ravens did a great job of just kind of stepping up to the challenge and powering their way through and finding a way to win that game against Tennessee. Because Tennessee did put them in some awkward positions, but every time the Ravens answered back with a score, and a lot of it was tied to Lamar Jackson just making plays on the ground or keeping plays alive. So, again, I can see Lamar Jackson finding a way to get a win here. It's just that I think it's going to take another Herculean effort from Jackson in order to get there. I don't necessarily see Hollywood Brown at 5,200 on DraftKings or and 6,500 on FanDuel being that great of a play. You know, Tre'Davious White is still there for the Bills secondary, and the Bills, you know, aren't giving up that much in the passing game. So they're going to, you know, could the Bills try to concentrate on just shutting down the run completely and daring Lamar to throw? Yeah, I could see that happening. And I know that's what the argument people are going to make is that, you know, you could get a shot over the top for Hollywood Brown and maybe that softens things up. I think if the Bills force the Ravens to get into a passing type matchup to hit them with big plays deep, advantage goes to Bills, and I think the Bills kind of run away with this one. I think the Bills offense is going to score points against the Ravens defense. I don't see really where the Ravens defense is going to slow down Josh Allen in that passing attack. You can throw on the Ravens secondary, and A.J. Brown had a big day for Tennessee against the Ravens secondary. The problem with the Ravens, the problem that the Titans ran into last week was they gave up a bunch of points early. They couldn't get Derrick Henry going, and realistically, the Titans at the line of scrimmage were getting beat, surprisingly, by the defensive effort of the Ravens. So the Ravens D-line did do the job from a running game perspective. Thing is, with the Bills don't really care about if they can't run the football. They're going to throw the ball anyway. And I didn't necessarily see that much of a pass rush disrupting Ryan Tannehill. It was just more of a consequence that, you know, Tennessee just could not get into the rhythm that they wanted to on offense. And that's just was the end-all be-all for the game. So if I'm looking at this for pieces for the Ravens, I can play Lamar Jackson with J.K. Dobbins. And, you know, Lamar's going to run you 7,600. Dobbins is going to cost 6,000. You know, Dobbins doesn't necessarily have the touchdown upside because of Lamar, but that will give you a healthy floor of the Ravens rushing game. And between the two of them, I can see the Ravens running for 150 plus yards today. I can definitely see it. I just don't know if that's enough to get it done, because I think the Ravens are going to need close to 350 and above in terms of total yardage to win this game against the Bills. I definitely see the Bills' passing attack being able to put up 30 points. And, you know, unless the Ravens can just grind down the clock with long drives, I'm just not entirely sold on the Ravens being able to control clock enough to get it, the job done. Now, on the Bills' side, the Bills are very fortunate to be here, because if it wasn't for just the usual meltdowns of Philip Rivers, Indy actually had a very good chance of sending that game into overtime. And the way Indy's defense started figuring things out in the second half, because they were they had given some difficulty to the Bills early on. And then the Bills started figuring things out in the second quarter and the third quarter. And then by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, Indy tightened things up again. you know, the problem is when you're looking at it from a DFS perspective, who are you going to pair up with Josh Allen? And your immediate thought is to go to Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is at 7,300 this week. And I'm perfectly good with just paying that and locking in those two plays. Now, the flip side is, if we go that route with playing Diggs and Allen, usually you would try to stack with another pass catcher. And the only reliable option, because we saw John Brown get a goose egg last week, which killed me in a bunch of lineups, amongst other reasons. But I can't see Brown getting another goose egg. But who's it going to come at the expense of? Is it going to be Cole Beasley? Is it going to be Gabe Davis? Dawson Knox got some red zone targets. You know, there are various aspects to this game where I'm not entirely sure how the Bills offense is going to go. But I think that you're still going to see 30-plus passing attempts from Josh Allen. So the ball is going to be whipping around. It's just a matter of how much of a mix are we going to see between the Bills receivers. Because I think Diggs is still going to get his. You know, if A.J. Brown can get there last week, Diggs is definitely going to get there. Barring that oblique strain flaring up, I really have a hard time seeing how Diggs doesn't put up close to, I'd say, 18 to 20 points this week. I think that's a comfortable floor for Diggs. Could I see Diggs getting to 30? Yeah, I could, because if he gets over the top and just breaks one deep, the Ravens are not going to catch him. Diggs almost did that a couple of times. A.J. Brown almost did that a couple of times. I definitely could see if they give Diggs that look, Diggs is taking it to the house. So I really do like Diggs this week from a DFS perspective. That's just the way I'm kind of leaning towards it all. But the other pieces, you know, I could play Diggs without Allen. I could play Diggs just by himself. Why would I not play Allen this week? Realistically, it just kind of comes down to how the builds work out. I would rather have builds where I know I can get to enough pieces, and I'm going to talk about it in the next matchup, which starts off Sunday, why that matters in terms of how the flow is going to go. So speaking of flow, we're going to talk about the Browns-Chiefs game, which is going to be the most popular game of the weekend, I believe, from DFS perspective, and for good reason. It features the Chiefs, but the Browns are underpriced from an offensive standpoint. You do have a number of plays on the Browns that are valuable enough that even if KC moves in the direction where the line is, you know, KC's 9.5-point favorites. They're minus 500 on the money line. You know, the Browns are plus 375 as the dog. You know, everyone's betting on the Chiefs. I don't necessarily think that's wrong. But if we're looking at it from a DFS perspective, Chiefs are up. That means Baker Mayfield's going to have to throw. So if we're looking at the passing options for Mayfield, you can get Jarvis Landry at 5,600. You can get Austin Hooper at 3,800. Those are Baker's two primary targets towards the last month of the year, where he's just been peppering them with targets where they've been seeing at least eight targets a game. With that as set up, you have a solid floor, and then you can fit in Kelce and Tyreek Hill together. And so that's why, in terms of building out your roster, Baker Mayfield at 5,300 does make a ton of sense if you're looking at it from this perspective of how do I maximize the value I'm going to get. It's not about who's going to win their matchup so much as you maximizing all the playmakers on each side of the games this weekend. And I can't see one matchup being that much of a heavyweight favorite over the others, so much as you could get a little bit more of a balance between the scores of the games and some playmakers that stand out. So in terms of the way I'm looking at the slate, you can get a case where Chiefs win the game, but you see a high score from guys like Landry and Hooper, and maybe Rashard Higgins, Higgins is at 4,100, but I can definitely see, builds where the winner basically has the Chiefs-Browns game, but they're playing more Browns players than Chiefs players because the Browns were behind and not paying up the $8,000 for Patrick Mahomes on DraftKings and the $9,200 on FanDuel. I think you can actually get away with playing Baker Mayfield because the Browns are going to have to throw the football to keep up with this one. I don't necessarily see this being turning into a Nick Chubb express game where the Browns just grind the Chiefs and somehow luck into a victory. I don't necessarily see that. I see this more as the Browns are going to have to try to throw to keep it close. And if they can keep it close, then they go to Chubb late in the game. I don't think this is necessarily a Nick Chubb gets fed early and often type of game. I just don't see it happening where the Browns defense is going to hold up well enough early on against the Chiefs in order to do that. I think the Chiefs get up on them early, and then the Browns are going to have to decide whether or not they're going to make a comeback in this game. And that's when you start getting more value out of the passing attempts. And again, same rationale why I would probably play Kareem Hunt over Chubb this week, because at 4,800, Kareem Hunt's going to see the majority of the pass catching duties for the Browns, as opposed to Chubb at 6,600. And again, with the Browns most likely playing from behind, it's going to turn this more into a passing attack than anything else. So that's where I see more value coming into play, is the fact that, you could get the Browns players at a decent discount and still be able to fit into the Chiefs players. And that brings us into our last matchup, Saints hosting the Buccaneers. Saints 3-point favorites at home in the Superdome. The experts are actually favoring Tampa to win this one. And I kind of get why. It's Brady. He's been looking pretty good over the last eight games of the year. And the Saints, you have to have a lot of questions about Drew Brees if he can actually get it done. Taysom Hill's out, so there's no changeup play that Sean Payton's going to go to. Hill's out. Hill is going to be out for this matchup. Unless there's another update, but it was pretty much a done deal where, you can't necessarily say that Taysom Hill's gonna be able to do his usual shtick of scrambling in for touchdowns and vulturing it. So it's going to kind of come down to Drew Brees being able to make passing attempts. Now, now I'm seeing some word that Hill may actually somehow be active for the game, but more as a decoy. Regardless, we're going to go under the assumption Taysom Hill's out for this game, and it's going to be up to Drew Brees to throw the ball, because the way to beat Tampa's defense is throwing the football. You're not really going to run against Tampa Bay's defense. They're going to funnel it, and Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas are going to have to be featured from a pass catching standpoint. Kamara's 7,900, but Michael Thomas is at 6,700 on DraftKings. I'm sorry, with Michael Thomas still being this cheap, I know he didn't have the monster game last week, but you got to go back to the well here. I just don't see how you skimp on a game where you know Tampa needs to score and is going to give up the passing attack because they know they're not good at shutting down the pass. They're just going to concentrate on shutting down Kamara. Why you wouldn't go back to Michael Thomas at 6,700? It just makes far too much sense to play Michael Thomas at 6,700 on DraftKings and figure out other ways of making it work. Antonio Brown's at 5,400 on DraftKings, 6,400 on FanDuel. You know, excellent play. Godwin, 6,100 on DraftKings, 7,500 on FanDuel. You could play Mike Evans. He's 6,400 on DraftKings, 7,100 on FanDuel. The issue with playing Mike Evans is that there is a, I would say, not so friendly rivalry between Evans and Saints DB cornerback Marshon Lattimore. I mean, here's the bottom line: they don't like each other. They get on each other's nerves. They are more likely to draw personal foul penalties against each other than put up big numbers. So I don't necessarily see Evans having a big day with Lattimore on him, which was pretty much 100% guarantee. This seems to be a spot for Antonio Brown or Godwin. Now, like I said, the predominant play would be concentrating on the Chiefs-Browns game. But if you want to game stack the Saints with Michael Thomas and play Godwin and Brown off of Thomas, or play a four man with if you throw in Kamara, Godwin, AB, and Michael Thomas, that is certainly a route you can go. There are ways to make it profitable enough to get there from a salary perspective. I don't necessarily see myself going there, but you know, building out multiple lineups, if you're building out like a 20 max lineup or even the 150 max, then yeah, if you're building out 150 lineups, you definitely should be game stacking every single one of these games on the weekend, just because it just makes far too much sense and crazy things can happen. But, you know, it just makes more sense in this one that Michael Thomas is too cheap. You know, at least have him as a piece. And then, you know, the rest of this game, yeah, you could just punt in favor of the Chiefs-Browns if you want to do a game stack. But I do think that there is value to playing Breeze or Brady stacks because of the pass-catching options. There's just going to be more opportunities to get it done throwing the football in this game than probably any other game this weekend. So just a food for thought for these matchups, because it's going to be interesting to see how the builds play out. I can definitely see a lot of concentration just going towards the Chiefs-Browns game. And, you know, it could just be one of those weeks where you see a split because of the Chiefs-Browns game goes off. You know, that's pretty much game over. There's just so much talent in that game. You know, that's the way I kind of lean towards the weekend in terms of the matchups. Should be an interesting slate nonetheless. You know, like I said, you know, from the games last week, you know, it didn't really tell you a whole lot about the teams because I thought the Steelers were done. I thought Seattle was done. You know, the Bucs did what they had to do against Washington. That was a very game effort. You didn't really learn a ton about these teams. The Bills still have some question marks as to how well they can close out teams. The Saints, you know, can Breeze get it done? I mean, Trubisky was a wet fish last week. I mean, he had nothing to trouble the Saints with. So, you know, it's just very difficult to kind of see much of anything being done here that's going to change the overall dynamic of where we view some of these teams. So I kind of look at this as a case of, you know, Packers should win. I see the Bills winning over the Ravens. I think the Ravens might be a little bit banged up after last week. Chiefs likely take care of business against the Browns, but I do think the Browns cover that 9.5 spread. That's just a bit too generous there. And, you know, the Bucs should be able to get the win against the Saints. I've had my question marks about Drew Brees the entire year. Nothing's been done to assuage my fears over that. And I just think Brady finds a way to get it done and kind of pick apart the Saints defense as we get to the second half and kind of move forward. This is where Tampa was kind of built for, is just having so many different weapons to attack teams with. So that's where I kind of stand with these games. So I'll leave it out there, take it from there. But good luck with your contest, everyone. And until next time, be well.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all other major outlets.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.